So listen, we're in award season, and the Golden Globes have been on, and the BAFTAs are coming, and there's several more happening on a regular basis, and it all leads up to the Oscars. And the news broke there last week that there won't be any Oscar hosts this year because Kevin Hart had to step down over homophobic tweets that were made 10 years ago. So we decided to take a look at various different Oscar hosts down through the years, and also awards hosts, the good, the bad, and the indifferent. And to do that, we're joined by entertainment editor of the Daily Mail, Owen Murphy. Hi, Owen.
Good morning, Mario.
How are you?
Good, yeah.
Good. Sorry to hear the kids have chicken pox.
Yeah, well, look, it's one of the joys of being a parent, isn't it? Yeah.
Desperate. But anyway, listen, thanks for coming in.
It's like owning two scratch cards. It's that move.
Don't say scratch. But anyway, you're probably delighted to get in here.
I think my wife is listening, so
you jumped out.
I'll just say no.
Our producer Patrick went, no. He said yes immediately. Absolutely, yeah. And so listen, it's award season, and no Kevin Hart. So what are we going to do? Who do you get to present your awards these days, Owen? Which way do you go?
The question is, who wants to present the awards these days? Because you're opening, for a start, even if you just look at Kevin Hart, simply by taking the job, he's pretty much ruined his career.
Yeah,
because, you know, people are now delving through people's social media feed and they're retrospectively judging them on what jobs they take going down the line, which is preposterous, really.
Yeah.
He didn't suddenly become homophobic within 1 week of getting this job. So if you went to his movies over the last 10 years, I don't think, it was a shock thinking about that's how he was 10 years ago. Because if you're a fan, you're a fan. And it's funny, if you go back to when Chris Rock hosted the Oscars, his running bit was pretty much how Kevin Hart is Chris Rock light.
Yeah.
That was it was like, if I didn't take this job, they'd give it to bloody Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
That was his running joke, and he's always working. So I don't know why you would want the job now.
Yeah,
because you're putting yourself out there for utter scrutiny.
Absolutely fraught with potential disaster.
Yeah, so unless you're the sort of person who can go in, who doesn't give a damn, and go in and just pillory everybody, I think that's why you take it.
Well, pretty much that's a good place to get off for our first clip. And this is a person who clearly doesn't give a damn. Mr. Richard Gervais?
Yeah.
Here's Ricky Gervais in full flight doing what he does best.
On a serious note, just looking at all the faces here reminds me of some of the great work that's been done this year by cosmetic surgeons. You all look great. I've had a little bit of work done. I've had a penis reduction. Just got the one now. That's enough. And it is very tiny. But so are my hands, so when I'm holding it looks pretty big. And let's face it, I usually am holding it. I wish I was doing that now instead of this, to be honest. But let's... I've had a couple. I'm not going to lie to you. Now listen up. I haven't offended anyone. I didn't mean... It's not my fault. It's a lot of powerful people here, so if I said... It's... Honestly, I like a drink as much as the next man. Unless the next man is Mel Gibson.
What was the best bit about that, though, was as Mel Gibson is walking out, he wasn't expecting that comment, and he just kind of wobbles and he points at Ricky Gervais, and then there's this stunned 3 seconds before he starts introducing the award. And it's absolutely ruined Mel Gibson for awards from then on in. And if you see in any of the Golden Globes going forward, anytime the camera pans around the room and it gets to Mel Gibson, he ducks or he moves and he shies away because he's petrified.
Yeah.
And he's come out since saying that he hated Ricky Gervais for that.
Did he?
Yeah, he didn't take that kindly at all. But, I can't imagine there's too much sympathy
for him. How the world has changed, because it's inconceivable now, really, isn't it, that Ricky Gervais could be booked?
There's no way he'd be booked now. And certainly if you look at how the Golden Globes went this year, there's absolutely no way that Ricky Gervais gets that gig. When in fact, if you look at the tumbling viewership figures that are going on with all award ceremonies, that's what's needed because people are bored. And that was reflected in the Golden Globes this year. I mean, this is the one real award ceremony where you give people tables of booze, you ply them with it, and then you roast them.
It's ostensibly a roast.
That's what it is. And yet they've now just taken it away. And this year it became a political statement.
Oh my God. Well, one thing that happened there is when they played Ricky Gervais there, I was laughing. Yeah. And the reason I was laughing is the jokes were edgy and, offensive to the, you know, but they were funny.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why they're funny as well is because of his delivery.
Yeah.
His delivery is quality.
But he doesn't care.
And his delivery communicates that he doesn't care.
Yeah.
But here are two people who really care.
Learning experience for me.
Okay, we stop talking.
You got it.
But if I could take a moment here in all honesty, I said yes to the fear of being on this stage tonight because I wanted to be here to look out into this audience and witness this moment of change. And I'm not fooling myself. I'm not fooling myself. Next year could be different, it probably will be, but right now, this moment is real. Trust me, it is real. Because I see you. And I see you. All these faces of change. And now, so will everyone else.
I just got the feeling she was trying to start a hashtag. I see you. That's literally all she was trying to do.
That's Sandra Oh and Adam Sandberg at the Golden Globes this year. Now, I think, do you know what typifies the world we're living at the moment? When she said, I see you, five or six people who are presumably heavyweights in the business to be there started laughing because they don't know anymore if it's a joke or if it's serious.
Yeah.
So all this, the Me Too business and is being, you know, wrapped around now award ceremonies.
Yeah, but this is the problem with, you don't need a theme. For some reason, every year they seem to want to have a theme. And the Golden Globes this year obviously had their word. Like, there was an interview done with Adam Sandberg after the Golden Globes where he went through all the jokes that he had that were censored and cut. And they were funny. They would have worked. Like, they worked on Jimmy Fallon. Like, this is what I'm talking about. That if you're a viewer watching at home, and of course, you know, there has been a huge movement in Hollywood, you'd want to be living under a rock not to know this. You don't need to use their primetime awards show and essentially, you know, homogenize it so that it's just, there's nothing left.
And it was so earnest and faux sincere. I just thought it struck the wrong tone.
Plus, all these people are so privileged. Like, I know they have a craft and it's wonderful what they're doing and they're artists, but they're also being paid phenomenal, vast amounts of money. And if you cannot put them in one room and take the piss out of them once a year, I don't know what's the point.
And you've been to on the red carpet twice, is it?
Oh, I've been there twice, and I'll tell you, it is the biggest, you talk about workaholics and job satisfaction, there is zero job satisfaction and it is utter workaholic status over there because the red carpet is deemed as this Fadian body that symbolizes all that the Oscars is. And like, you get accreditation just to get on the red carpet 3 days before they actually lift the film off it. And the red carpet is huge. It's way longer than you think it is, than you see on TV. And you're graded as to your level of importance on the red carpet. Mm. So basically, I was practically in Las Vegas at the end of that carpet because they just didn't care about us. And you get given a sign where you stand. So I was, at the time, I was Irish News of the World. And you're down at the end and all the stars send out their people and they're marking who's where and who they want to talk to. So obviously, nobody really, unless they're Irish, wants to talk to you. So you just end up spending 4.5 hours shouting at celebrities who don't come near you, feeling dreadful. And you just don't get anywhere near them. And then up at the top, you see, like, bathed in light, you'll see Ryan Seacrest and everybody making a beeline for him. And
or not,
as was the case last year. Yeah. So it's a horrible gig unless you're, like, one of the big names. It's ironically very much like Hollywood. But
here are two people who did a pretty amazing job at hosting it. And this was Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Anne Hathaway, you gave a stunning performance in Les Miserables. I have not seen someone so totally alone and abandoned like that since you were on stage with James Franco at the Oscars. You know, Anne shot her big Les Mis song all in one tight close-up, and she said that it was really difficult performing with a camera so close to her face.
Well, then she's never going to make it in porn.
I don't think she has any plans to do porn, Amy.
Well, none of us have plans to do porn.
Fair enough.
Meryl Streep is not here tonight. She has the flu, and I hear she's amazing in it. So amazing.
They're cracking gags.
Which, like, we're sitting here and we're actually laughing at them.
We did, yeah.
I mean, they stand up alone outside of an awards ceremony, and that is the key to good comedy routine.
Good routines, yeah. Good delivery, good comics, and, you know, jokes with a bit of slagging in them.
Yeah, well, I suppose writing probably is everything in this scenario, yep, as well. I mean, there's that famous case where Chevy Chase hosted the Oscars during the, I think it was the writer's strike in 88, and he bombed because he had to write all the jokes and they weren't funny.
That's a good one, yeah.
He just, it came out of it, and I think he didn't work for something like 4 or 5 years after it. Like, it absolutely nailed him. So yeah, writing is obviously key, but they also are so comfortable working together. Mm. And they've worked together so much that they know where they can go, whereas how far they can push it. And they did push it.
Actually, I was talking to Alison about it, about Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, and she remembered a great joke as well from that ceremony. And it was about George Clooney. And he said, George Clooney is so determined. George Clooney would rather be drifting untethered in outer space rather than spend time with a woman of his own age. It was about gravity. Yeah. Yeah. It's very funny.
But then, of course, the famous one was where George Clooney just married his Amal Clooney, and they listed her long line of credentials and went, her husband is getting a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yes, that was great.
And, you know, that was just brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
And he knew it was, you know.
And where are we going to go with this? It's just,
I don't know. I mean, I have to admit, I love award ceremonies. I mean, I love the pageantry of it. It's great watching all of the world celebrities coming out, particularly seeing them trip over as they go up to collect their awards. But, like, there's something wonderful about having them all in one place and staying up, and it's an occasion. But if it's going to be this boring, like the Oscars, anyone who stays up late enough knows the Oscars is really tough to watch anyway, because you get the two gongs at the start, then they go into all the technical awards that nobody cares about apart from those who do technical jobs. Mm. And then they have the crescendo at the end where you get Best Picture, Best Actor, and then the best film. It's a tough watch, but if you take the humour out of it, like, nobody's going to watch it. And that's, if you look at the viewing figures, they were the lowest last year in 10 years.
Yeah.
So it is affecting them. Like, they're down to, I think it was 40 million.
Yeah, and if it's this bad with the Oscars and the BAFTAs and the Globes, how bad is it going to be for the IFTAs? Like, sorry, it's only one way to go. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host tonight, Dermot Bannon. I mean, it's got to be.
Don't forget the goodie bag, though. You get a cup of Cara magazine, you get a tub of Ballymaloe relish, and you get, was something else that was absolutely brilliant.
Kicking the arse.
I think it was a little bit of makeup as well. And a box of Maltesers on the table to share. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
That's brilliant.
There's your 125 grand gifting room in LA.
Brilliant. Well, Owen, thanks very much for coming in to talk to us about that.
It's a pleasure.
And we say always leave them with the song. So we're going to leave with another way of presenting the Oscars. And this is another way of doing it. And it was pretty successful in my view. Brilliant. The great Hugh Jackman.
And if I thought that I could find equivalents, okay, I would swim a sea of human excrement. And I begin my story with this sentiment. This slumdog millionaire just needs some milk. I'm talking about M-I-L-L-K. I'm talking about milk. I'm saying it's alright to be gay. I'm Harvey Milk. I'm recruiting all the people across the USA. I'm talking about Harvey on the griddle. Milk in the middle. Give me just a little. Just a little. Give me just a little. Ladies and gentlemen, your Craigslist dancers.
Mario's Sunday Roast on Today FM with Mario Rosenstock.